Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
I think Blaine has a good rapport with the tight ends. I think it's a pretty darn good group of tight ends.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 22-21 win over the Rams, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Steve, finally a win for the 49ers. And in dramatic fashion, they go for two. They score 2 points there after the touchdown by Kaepernick, and they beat the Rams. First of all, what does this win mean? I mean, they were celebrating like it was the Super Bowl or something like that on the sideline. They're playing the Rams, and they lost 13 in a row. You've never been on a team like this, I know, but what do you think it means to all the players?
Means a lot. I mean, they got to win. It's hard enough to win in this league, and I mean to have lost so many in a row. Finally something that feels good. So it's, you know, yeah, you're going to celebrate because there haven't been many chances to celebrate like that.
And it kind of came out of nowhere, too, because this was kind of the opposite of the way things had gone this year, where, you know, they'd have a great first half and they wouldn't do anything in the second half. This time, the last 10 minutes of the game, they do a great job of scoring 2 touchdowns to win the game.
Yeah, and they finally started throwing the ball. I mean,
you know,
watching it again, the first down runs, like, come on, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And you got 8 guys in the box and you know, running into a wall.
Well, I was thinking that Chip Kelly maybe learned something from this that he would do all the time. I mean, this is a game where it's kind of you don't care. You care, but you go for broke. You know what I mean? Like, you have nothing to lose, so you start throwing the ball and you go for two at the end of the game. Maybe you need to take chances like that all the time.
I mean, yes, in a lot of ways, yes, but. Yeah, you know, if you're 14-1, and you come down and you tie it up, or 13-1 instead of 1-13, I would say, you kick a field goal. I mean, kick the extra point, take it in overtime. You know, you got a good team.
You're confident you can win. It's different.
You know, if you're 13-1, you got a good defense.
Right.
You know, you're playing that a little different. But 1-13, hell yeah, go for it. I mean,
who
cares? If you lose another one, so what?
Right.
I mean, 1-14 and 1-13, that still feels shitty.
Exactly. It still does. Well, what was the difference? I mean, you know, for Kaepernick on that drive, he was in the last two drives, actually, he was great. I saw the numbers 15 of 19 on the last two drives. And, you know, all of a sudden he's finding Rod Streeter, and he really hasn't had receivers to throw to. But, you know, it just seemed like he was getting back there with confidence, firing the ball in there.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that all year. It's been very inconsistent.
Yeah, and they were facing him. Every one of those throws, the guy was running to a spot and stopping and facing him.
And he drills it in there,
And he drilled it in there. You know, the crossing routes, the outbreaking routes, where somebody's moving. Obviously, hard to throw for Cap. You know, he's not as accurate. So I think that helped. You know, getting guys to spots, turning around, you know, throw it for a back shoulder, you know, but the receiver stopped. He's facing the quarterback. So, I mean, that's what jumped out at me that, you know, okay, he's hitting all these guys. But, and he did make some other nice throws, too, on a couple out breaking routes on some post corners.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, he got some rhythm going and they started throwing the ball consistently, a little more consistently. Like I said, the first three quarters, you know, are like, oh my God, this is anemic offense on
yeah,
both sides.
Right.
I mean, it was bad.
It really was bad. Well, these are teams that are just inconsistent. I mean, you can see flashes from Goff and Kaepernick, I think, all year. We've seen flashes where it's like, oh, yeah, that's kind of like the old Kaepernick. But for the most part, it's, you know, maybe not the most part, but it's just inconsistent where there are times where you're just not going to get that. You get the inaccurate throws that you talked about, and you can't live with that all the time. You're not going to win games.
There's no rhythm to his pass, to his technique, and that may be part him, and I think it's also part the offense. There's no passing rhythm to it whatsoever. I mean, Jared Goff, he doesn't look very good right now. But his feet and his delivery are pretty good. I mean, he's not very accurate right now, and he's obviously not on the same page with his guys. You know, they have their own issues, but I thought his feet looked pretty good and his delivery was pretty good. You know, it's just not on the same page with the receivers right now.
Yeah,
and for that part, probably not on the same page with the offense coordinator. It's just those offenses not so good.
No, I mean, usually the 49ers can run the ball a little bit better with Hyde, but you know, he ended up getting hurt at the end of the game. Unfortunately, it's not super serious. It's a sprained MCL.
That looks ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad it wasn't a torn ACL. He would have been out for a whole year.
Like he didn't blow his whole knee out.
Yeah, that was that low
ugly.
Hit.
Yeah.
49ers also got lucky when they were on their last drive. We were talking about it before the podcast here about that penalty that was called for unnecessary roughness. I don't know about that. When Curley got hit on a shoulder-to-shoulder hit.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look good live, but it's... It wasn't. I don't know if I'd have called that in that situation, but it definitely helped the Niners.
Helped the Niners. They made clutch plays. I mean, Kaepernick running in for that one touchdown, and then running in for the two pointer.
That was a nice scramble.
Yeah,
the 2-point conversion. If he does that same thing 3 weeks ago in Miami, they win.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's what he needed to do in Miami, and they win. They'd have 3 wins.
Got to be aggressive in that case, and just go for it. Go for the end zone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good play call because they need to do that where they can utilize his speed.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the exact call. I mean, we talked about this, what game was that? Oh, the overtime game that they lost. I mean, just run that same play.
Yeah.
Put Cap out in space. He's got 3 guys, a shallow guy, a medium guy, and a deep guy, or I run. And he probably gets the first down in that situation in the overtime game
against the Jets.
That was
a few weeks ago against the Jets. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just didn't get it. It was the 4th-and-1 play, and they ran it right up the middle, and it didn't work.
Yeah. It's brutal.
Yeah. So the meaning of this for some fans is actually negative because, and I don't look at it this way, Steve, but the first pick in the draft now that Cleveland won. How do you look at it?
I mean. To me, the good of it is that if we have the first or second pick, if it's me, I'm trading it away. I need 4 guys instead of 1.
Yeah.
I mean,
you need a lot of holes to be filled.
Yeah. I mean, a quarterback. Let's look at the offense first. I mean, I don't know. It's boring. You know, it's just. There's only a few plays. I mean, quarterback's not going to help you.
You know, it's funny you say that because just, you know, last week Mark Purdy filled in here from the San Jose Mercury News, Bay Area News Group, and he was saying that one of the most important things was to be entertaining, and the 49ers have not been.
They are not.
So, and he also said that he thought the first couple of weeks of January were going to be huge, and it is true. I mean, these decisions, they're all going to be, you know, falling into place at once, because if you decide on Chip Kelly, then you decide the quarterback and all that. I mean, it all starts with the head coach. It all starts with the GM, which we think that Trent Baalke won't be around.
Right, right. But I still think that, you know, how much of a wholesale change are they going to make? I'd like to see a lot of change, but think they're going to go for a fourth head coach in 4 years.
No. I saw something about how the 49ers are the only team that's ever done that, where they've had two straight coaches last 1 year and out in the modern era of NFL football. Yeah.
I mean, I get that. You know, I understand that thinking of not wanting to do that, but I think the whole culture needs to change.
Well, I think, yeah, they did that back in the 70s where they had 2 years in a row. I mean, this is where they want to avoid it. But, yeah, I mean, you can't go by the contract. You got to go by how are we going to start winning?
Yeah.
And is that with Kelly or not? And I don't know. I mean, I think most of the year, it's been a rough year. I don't think he's had a great year of coaching, Steve, to be honest. But
no, I agree.
But it does mean a lot of change. If you blow him out now, you're probably looking at a lot of change, a new quarterback, and, you know, a whole new system.
Well, I mean, that's the reason why you would blow him out.
Yeah,
because
you want
okay,
that. Yeah.
He's an offensive-minded coach, and this an offense is one. It's not very entertaining. And matter of fact, it's to me, it's pretty boring.
Yeah,
it's very simple. So. You know, if you are looking to change the offense, then you need to change the head coach, unfortunately, because he's the offensive mind behind it. I'd like to believe that there is a wholesale change on the horizon, because I truly believe that the culture needs to change. But I'm not going to hold my breath.
I think it's going to, yeah, it seems like it's going to take a while for things to change if you do make that, even if you make the change. But so you're thinking maybe they stick with Kelly?
Just for that simple fact of what I just said, that I mean, you know, four head coaches in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that, that whoever's pushing the buttons, whether it is Jed or whether, you know, Daddy takes over,
right.
You know, or somebody takes over. I don't know. I mean, I haven't really heard any, you know, rumors lately of what's, you know, what's going to happen. But, yeah, I mean, if you are going to change wholesale change, then in my mind, you know, Chip's got to go, Trent's got to go, Prague's got to go, and then you start from there. But I don't see that happening.
And if that doesn't happen, then it's going to be, you know, where you're going to have to find some players through the draft. And
no question.
And I mean, you see teams turn it around. I mean, you see, look at the Raiders are a really good example, because when they get Carr and Cooper, that's a great tandem. And they get Crabtree, and, you know, and then their defense is upgraded. It doesn't take that long if you can do it through the draft a couple of years.
No, but Reggie created a culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he gets Jack in there to create that culture, and you get a Derek Carr, you get an Amari Cooper, you know, you've got some other good pieces already there, and you start drafting well, and and pick up a, you know, pick up a free agent here or there. So, I mean, yeah, it's doable. I mean, Reggie's been doing it. He's, what's this, probably his fourth or fifth year as a GM.
I think you're right. Yeah.
I think yeah. So it takes a little bit of time, but you know, you would have hoped to have seen improvement on last year. They won five last year.
Five games, yeah, and it's not happening.
you don't get it. I mean, I think you got to really reevaluate it.
As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on special offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
Well, I think they've had enough time to evaluate Kaepernick. I guess for me, and I don't know. Yeah.
He's done.
You think this is it? This will be his last game against Seattle with the 49ers.
I think his only hope is, his only chance is for Chip Kelly to be here. But I just don't see it. I don't think Cap wants to be here, to be honest.
Yeah, you've talked about that before, and that's a big part of it, just the attitude.
Yeah.
And the leadership skills, that's another thing Mark Purdy touched on, was that he didn't think Kaepernick had the leadership skills to lead a winning team. I mean, yeah, they got to the Super Bowl that one year, but he said he looks like a quarterback who's just kind of waiting for the next play to come in rather than, you know, getting all over people and firing them up.
Yeah, I would agree with Mark there. He just doesn't seem like he wants to be here. I think it's that simple.
Here's the thing for me, for whoever the quarterback was this year, how do you evaluate how good they're playing when you don't have really great receivers? I mean, some of the tight ends are decent, but a lot of drop balls. I mean, they've kind of had a whiff on receivers, whether it be drafting them or even Torrey Smith never turned out.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, since Bolden and Crabtree were here, you know, without those guys, it's just there's nobody else that stepped in to be the go-to guy. Curley's had a good year, but you've talked about how he gets manhandled, and they just don't have anybody. So how do you it's got to be hard to evaluate a quarterback, don't you think?
I would completely agree that it is hard to evaluate them. One, because – yeah, okay. One, because of the receivers. Two, I just don't know how you evaluate them in this offense. I mean,
right?
I honestly don't. I get why Cap is still around, because Chip, if I'm Chip, I'm going, yeah, this is maybe the one guy that can run this offense. But there's not any sophistication to the offense that. I thought at the beginning of the year that in order to win some games, we would just have to outscore people, because I didn't think our defense would be that good.
And it wasn't.
They aren't.
No. Especially against the run, but yeah.
But I thought, okay, if we can put up, you know, 24 points a game on average, let's say, you know, 20, make it 28.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I just don't see this offense being able to do that.
You know what the problem is, Steve, for me, is that, okay, you really have a top-flight running back in Carlos Hyde, and so you don't have to worry there. You need a little more depth, I think, behind him. But the problem with the 49ers right now, you talked about it before, that there's just so many holes to fill. Like, where are your priorities? Is it quarterback? Is it wide receiver? Is it linebacker? There's so many areas. I don't even know where you start when you're starting to draft and trying to trade or free agents.
Yeah, I think you got to get the guys in the trenches, offensively and defensively, and you know, in my mind,
got to upgrade the lines. Yeah.
Yeah. Defensively, it probably, you know, we need some. I think we need some linebackers, but Yeah.
I mean, you hope that Bowman comes back healthy, but still, they were down to nobody at the end of the year with all the injuries.
Yeah.
And didn't make tackles. There were so many missed tackles. Buckner at the defensive line had a really good year.
Especially the last quarter of the season. Maybe even the second half. Early on he and Armstead just playing so high. Getting manhandled on runs.
Yeah.
But I think Buckner came around and definitely played better for sure the last quarter of the season.
Yeah, so that's one
about
promising
4 or 5 weeks. Yeah.
One promising area.
Yeah.
The other thing is they really need to clean up it seemed like all year, just those mistakes that you shouldn't have, like the drop passes or the penalties that were just inexcusable. Even in this game that they won.
They had
a penalty 11, at the end there.
11 penalties?
Yeah, they
10,
had a bunch,
10 or 11?
10 or 11 penalties, and they had that unsportsmanlike, which I don't know about that. It looked like the lineman, and they had the wrong lineman.
It
was Garnett who did it. I think they flagged somebody else, but it was Garnett who was trying to hand the ball to Kaepernick, I think, and they said he was putting it in the face of a Rams player. So that was almost costly because they had to move the kick back, and then
it was
good field position for the Rams.
Yeah. That was not a very good game.
No, it wasn't.
The end was good. Last quarter was good. but geez, the beginning.
Which, by the way, the Rams also they're trying to figure out who their head coach is going to be. So they're in trouble too. They're a mess.
Yeah, and Gurley, he looked like he might have been banged up a little bit. He didn't look like he was running hard.
Yeah. No, I think the whole year he wasn't as explosive as he normally was.
As he was last year,
yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you they can definitely work around Gurley and Goff.
Right.
Depending on who they get in there as offense coordinator. I was trying to – they fired whoever it was from last year. Was it I know Jeff Garcia was in there helping out as a special assistant. And did they have Schottenheimer? Did they have Brian Schottenheimer?
I don't know who they had even had there. And their offense struggled this year.
Yeah, they did.
The 49ers need to figure out a way to play the Rams more often because they're 3-0 against them and 0-16 against the rest of the league the last 19 games.
Gosh.
I saw that note.
Wow.
That is it. Yeah. But what about this last game, Steve, against Seattle at home? Here are the Seahawks, they're headed to the playoffs. They lost to Arizona last week in a close game. But what's your experience with these last games where you have a team that's going to the playoffs? They've got something to play for, and another team that's just finishing it out.
Yeah, I think Seattle comes in here pretty fired up. I would think that you want to be going into the playoffs playing well. I saw pieces of that game against Arizona. They played pretty good, but I think they come in here fired up to looking to, put a lot of points on the board and, get some momentum going into the playoffs. The Niners, unfortunately, there'll probably be a lot of cars running in the parking lot.
right.
But
packed up.
But packed up and ready to go. But let's win two in a row and see if we can make something out. But end on a positive note.
Right.
And go from there because I don't think anybody's. I think after that game ends on Sunday, I don't think anybody's safe.
No, it's kind of. I don't know if you heard what Steve Young said about throw everybody in a parking lot, and you're not allowed back in the building unless you're part of the solution.
I agree. I mean, I would say that. Obviously, I'm being facetious, but I mean, Carlos is safe.
It's not too many other guys, yeah. Navarro Bowman coming back from injury. He'll be safe.
Yeah, Navarro. But
Eric Reed.
Eric. But there's not a whole lot of guys that are safe. Joe Staley, he's the best player on the team, period.
Right. He's been out.
And he's in year 10.
Right.
Or 11, whatever he is.
Yeah.
So I think after that game's over on Sunday, nobody's safe.
It's going to be very interesting after that.
Yeah.
By the way, I did want to ask you, too, about, because the Seahawks are coming in, you got Richard Sherman. That whole situation with him ripping on the coaches on the sideline when they were throwing the ball, like getting involved in offensive play calls if you're a defensive back. I mean, and Pete Carroll seems to handle that well. He didn't blast Sherman in the media, but I can only imagine how he felt behind closed doors.
Yeah, Pete, you know, I think Pete would handle that probably as well as anybody. Knowing him, he loves, I'm sure he loves Sherman, loves his bravado, loves his intelligence. I mean, he's a smart guy, let's face it.
Definitely.
And hence the reason that he does some of the things that he does, because, you know, yeah, he knows he can get away with it. So, okay, he starts needling coaches about not throwing the ball and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, Pete would probably handle that better than anybody, honestly. He's not going to squash him, but he's gonna say, you know, leave that to me. You know, leave that to the offensive coaches. We're all in this together, and we're doing what we think we need to do.
You know, since you mentioned that, by the way, a good way to finish out here for this podcast, I think, is talking about Chip Kelly. Yeah, I don't think he's done a great job this year. There's no doubt. But I will say this. This team played hard, I think, every game. And I'll say that it didn't seem to me, Steve, that there was much finger pointing, you know, on a team that's, you know, lost 13 games in a row before they get their second win. It didn't seem like there was a lot of controversy there, and there could have been. And even with the Kaepernick kneeling thing, it really, the team could have been completely fractured, and they didn't. And I got to give him some credit for that. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that they hit it pretty well. I mean, let's face it, the team is fractured. I mean, it was fractured as I said before. You got, you know, week two or three. I didn't know whatever week one. You got three guys kneeling and four guys standing with their fists in the air, and the other, you know, 46 guys standing at attention. So in my mind, the team is fractured. But now, did Chip go the opposite way of what he did in Philly, where he was, you know, meddling in the and on guys all the time? Did he go the other way and kind of just let it take care of itself?
Be more of a player's coach? Yeah.
Be more of a player's coach. Kind of seems like he did that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the right way? I'm not convinced. But I would agree with what you said, that there didn't seem to be much finger pointing in the newspaper. Is that because most of the guys didn't really care?
Maybe that's part of it, right?
There wasn't
that much passion to do any finger pointing.
Yeah, was there not enough passion that guys were, you know, that guys were getting on, you know, guys that really care, getting on guys that don't care?
That's a good point. That's a good point, yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I've thought about this.
It's a really good point. No, even Mark Purdy brought up that Kaepernick didn't yell at receivers when they drop balls. And, you know, maybe that's not good sometimes, but, you know, you see Brady doing that all the time. Like, come on, you know, pick it up. He's not that type of leader, you know, that
right,
we saw.
Right. That's part of, in my mind, does he really want to be here?
Right.
You know, my personal answer is no, but I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah. Well, a lot is going to be determined.
Like you were stating that Mark Purdy said, I mean, next 2-3 weeks,
I know.
It could be serious bloodshed.
Well, right after the game. I mean, the next day, you know, you'll probably hear whether or not Kelly's going to be back. I mean, I wouldn't think it would take long to figure it out.
No. Hopefully, you know, Jed, Dr. York, you know, hopefully they have an answer.
Yeah.
You know, they have a plan. I guess it's not an answer, a plan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
I want to see him win. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
it's hard to go through a season like this for everybody.
Oh, really hard.
Yeah.
Really hard.
Well, we'll talk about it next week after this Seattle game. We'll be in 2017, and probably have some news to talk about, I would think, when we talk next Tuesday.
I would think so.
All right, Steve. Yep. Well, thanks, and happy holidays.
All right. Thank you.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We'll talk about the final game of the 2016 season for the 49ers as they host the Seattle Seahawks. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.